Welcome to the Motina Books Podcast. We publish books by and for mothers, and we also discuss topics that are very important to single parents.
Hi there. Welcome to the Motina Books Podcast. As I'm recording today, it happens to be the 4th of July, so happy Independence Day, everyone. It's pretty dang hot here in Texas. It's in the mid-90s, and I'm just taking it easy today. We had a busy family weekend, so my husband and I decided that we're just doing a whole lot of nothing today, and it's been a pretty good day so far. I like those days full of nothing to do. So what I wanted to talk about today is a topic that was recently discussed at one of our single sign-up practical single parent support group meetings. And we had a very special guest visit who spoke about credit scores and how your credit score is made up and the different items in your life that it can affect. Personally, I do believe that it's important to have a good credit score because it affects a lot more in your life than simply borrowing money. And of course, that is not something that I think is a good idea. Our goal in Single Side Up, when we're talking about finances and money, is to get rid of your debt and not accumulate more. But in addition to borrowing money and having interest rates on those loans, your credit score affects things like your insurance rates, car insurance and homeowners insurance. For whatever reason, don't ask me why. If you're renting an apartment, then they're certainly going to pull your credit and see what your credit score is. If you work in the financial industry, or maybe you're an accountant or a controller for a company, it is very likely that that company is going to pull your credit score as well. So it's still very important to maintain a good high credit score, even though, like I said, the goal is to not borrow any money and to get out of debt and to stay out of debt and save money and build wealth. So we have a presentation that I have uploaded to the same page on the website at motinabooks.com. Go to the podcast page and look for the Credit Score Podcast. And that's where you'll find this great presentation. It's a PDF file, so you can go ahead and view it easily. You don't need PowerPoint or anything. So let's go ahead and get started and look at that. We're just going to go through the through this PowerPoint pretty quickly. So there are three main credit reporting agencies. And if you've been around for a while, you've used credit cards, you've gotten any kind of loans before, they are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And they've been around for a long time. You can go to them and get your credit score and your credit report. And we'll talk about those differences in just a moment here. Once a year, you can get a free credit report. If you go to the website www.annualcreditreport.com, you can download your credit report once a year from each of the three agencies. So that means once every 4 months, you can check your credit report for free. Now, this is not getting your credit score. Like if you have a 700 credit score, it's not going to tell you that for free. You can go ahead and purchase your credit score from one of the three credit companies, credit reporting companies that we just mentioned. The last time I did it, I think it was about $15 or $20 to see your score. So it's not that expensive. But what is your credit report going to tell you? It's going to give you information like your open loans that you have. If you have credit cards, you have a mortgage, you have an auto loan. It's going to show you that, and it's going to show you the status that it's in too. And we'll go ahead and talk about that in more detail in a minute. So there is one free credit reporting agency. Well, it's not. It's not a credit reporting agency. It's just a service. It's an app, Credit Karma. And I have used that in the past. It does show you your credit score for free. It doesn't charge you. But what I have found is that it really isn't as high. It's a little bit lower than what it really is. So the score that Credit Karma reports, it seems to be a little bit lower than what your credit score actually is. And the reason I know this is because I was using Credit Karma at the same time that I wanted to get pre-qualified for a mortgage. So I called my lender. I was using a bank as a lender for a mortgage. And of course, when you get pre-qualified or apply for a loan, they're going to pull your credit score. And I noticed that when the bank pulled my credit score, it was quite a bit higher. I want to say a good 40 or 50 points higher than what Credit Karma was showing. And so Credit Karma also has a lot of advertisements from credit card companies. So what they're trying to get you to do is open up a credit card through one of their advertisers in order to try to raise your credit score. So what I would recommend, if you want kind of an idea of what your credit score is at, go ahead and try Credit Karma, but don't count on it as being an exact score, but it should give you a pretty good idea. So the expert who came to talk to us said that credit monitoring and credit subscriptions are really unnecessary. You don't need to pay for this stuff because 3 times a year you can get your free report from one of the agencies that we just discussed. You'll just have to go to annualcreditreport.com, enter some information. They're going to want your social security number. It is a secure site, so don't worry about that. And they'll, ask for secure login information. Don't give this out to anybody because you don't need anybody else checking your credit report and getting your information. But it's a very good thing to do because then if you see something that shouldn't be there, like a new loan or a new credit card that you did not open, then you can dispute that and that could be an indication of possible identity theft. Alrighty, so what is your credit report going to tell you? Here's the sections of the report. First, of course, you're going to have your personal information: name, age, date of birth, address, social security number. You're going to have your credit information: loans, credit card, mortgage, public records. This could be a bankruptcy, perhaps, or a judgment by a creditor that has been made against you. Inquiries. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, when I applied for a mortgage or whenever you apply for a loan, that inquiry will affect your credit report. That'll go on your credit report. What is not on your report? Really personal information: your race, religion, ethnicity, who you've worked for in the past, what do you make, your personal wealth, your net worth, and your criminal record. So what is your credit report used for? If you apply for a loan, your credit report will be pulled by a lender to see if you qualify or not. Addition to being able to qualify, it also determines your interest rate. If you have a higher credit score, you will probably qualify for a lower interest rate. So that's good because that'll save you money. If you have a lower credit score, unfortunately, your interest rate will most likely be higher. If you have a better credit score, you will probably have discounts on your auto insurance. If you're renting an apartment, applying for a new job, or even applying for professional licenses, your credit report could be reviewed. So there are two different types of credit scores. I didn't know this until I learned about it from the expert who visited us. A VantageScore score is less common, and it is a range of 300 to 850. But FICO, of course, is the most common score that you'll probably hear lenders refer to. The range is from 300 to 850. If you have a score that is under 550, that is not so good and considered subprime. You might remember last decade, lenders used to loan what they called subprime mortgages. And there were so many of those that people could not pay back. And many people defaulted on these. And that's what happened in 2008. The mortgage market went under, and a lot of people lost their jobs, including me, and lost their homes as well, which really was bad. So if you can, you want to bring your FICO score well over 550. Over 700 is what most lenders are looking for. So how is your FICO score going to affect the interest rate that you could get for a 30-year mortgage? So as we said, the higher the score, the lower the interest rate you're going to be. And here, right now, I think, you know, I'm not even sure what the mortgage interest rates are like right now. I refinanced back in 2012 when they were still very nice and low. So we might be looking at 5.95 or 6% mortgages right now. But of course, this is just an example. So if you've got a credit score, a FICO score in the 760 to 850 range, that's going to get you the lowest possible mortgage rate. So here we're looking at like a 5.95% mortgage rate. If your FICO score is somewhere between 500 and 579, you're looking at almost twice that. Look at that, a 10.17% interest rate on your mortgage. So in this case, you really want to try to raise your score before applying for your mortgage if possible. So if you're looking for a car loan, which of course I don't recommend that. You might remember one of our previous podcasts, we had Kim Little on, who is a Dave Ramsey representative. And we both agree very, very strongly that you do not want to take out a car loan, especially for a new car. You don't want to buy a new car. You want to buy used and you want to pay cash. And that is the best way to go with a car. But in this situation, we're looking at how it could affect how your FICO score could affect a 5-year car loan. And again, the higher the score, the lower your interest rate. So this pie chart shows you how your FICO score is broken up, the different parts and pieces that make up your score. 35% is your payment history. Creditors want to make sure that you pay your debts on time, that you're making those payments on time, you're not late. 30% is the amount owed. You do not want to have your credit cards maxed out, basically. Okay, amounts owed. Creditors are going to look at your monthly income and the payments that you have each month on debt. Now, you know, when they're talking about payments, they're not talking about your electric bill or your gas bill. Those are utility bills, things that you're going to have to pay every month, no matter what. That's just, you know, upkeep. But your debts, they don't want to see that you have a $4,000 a month income and $3,000 of that is going to debt payment, whether it's credit cards or auto. That's just too much. And they're not going to, you know, you're not going to get a good interest rate on a loan that you might need. Length of credit history. They want to see how long you've been maintaining a credit history. New credit and types of credit used. I still think you want to make sure that, you know, you're using credit wisely, of course. Don't have a lot of payments towards debt that you need to make every month. I don't have new credit. I have one credit card that I put my gas and my cell phone on, and I make sure that gets paid off every month, and just to make sure that I maintain a decent credit score. But don't put hundreds and hundreds of dollars on your credit card and carry that balance. You don't want to do that. Okay, payment history. As we said, you want to make sure that you're making those payments, that they are paid as agreed. Once you start being 30, 60, and 90 days late, they're going to look at you as a bad risk and your credit score is going to be dropping like a rock. So a charge-off is basically when the creditor, most likely a credit card company, has decided that it's pretty unlikely that they're going to get the payment from you, and they're writing it off. Now, they might go ahead and send it to a collection agency to see if they can get the money, but they've basically decided that they're not going to get the money from you. But that might sound great. It's like, oh, great. You know, they've decided I don't have to pay him back. So all of that was free stuff and free money. No, it wasn't. You are now being labeled as a bad risk. So, and your credit score is just going to drop, and you don't want that. And also, once it's charged off by the creditor and it is sent to collections, I don't know if any of you have ever had to deal with collection agencies, but they are not nice. They will start calling your neighbors, your mother, and just trying to do anything to get a hold of you, and they are extremely harassing. So you want to avoid collection agencies as much as possible. So then the public records section, if you have filed bankruptcy or if a creditor has actually taken you to court and a judgment is now filed against you, that will, of course, also show up on the credit card, on the credit report in the payment history section. So all of this is on your credit report for a long time, and potential employers, apartment buildings, and any lender is going to see all of this. So the 30% on your credit report that show your credit score that shows the amounts owed, this is where you talked about the debt versus credit limit. And the credit information section, this includes all limits on revolving accounts. And a revolving account, of course, is like a credit card, which means if you make a purchase with a credit card 1 month and you don't pay it off, it scoots on over, it carries over to the next month, and it just adds up and starts collecting interest. If you ever have a late payment, they're going to add fees to that. And so that's why you really want to avoid using credit cards in that way to rack up, you know, to make big payments and rack up debt, and don't max your credit card out. So your debt to income ratio, anything over 50% has a very negative effect on your credit score. Like we earlier used, if you've got a $4,000 a month income and then $2,000 of that is going towards debt, towards your car, towards your credit card payments, maybe you borrowed like a department store credit card, or you bought furniture from a store on credit, that's just going to add up. And if it's over 50%, it has a very negative effect on your credit score. So here are some other factors that we mentioned: credit history, length of credit history, types of credit use, new credit. So how do you go ahead and build good credit? I love seeing this word, budget, 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 and it's here three times because it is so important. You want to keep your debt to income levels low, which means basically make sure that you are living within your budget. Review your credit reports annually or even more frequently because you can get them three times a year, once from each of the big credit reporting agencies, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. So here, I thought this was very interesting. Credit repair agencies are a scam. There's nothing that anybody can do to quickly raise your credit score. So don't think that by paying one of these companies several thousand dollars that they're going to do anything for you. Scores and credit information can change monthly. So don't be surprised if it's, you know, if your credit score is 10 points different than it was the other month, that's going to happen. Old data has less impact than new, and they keep the data on your credit report for 7 years. Here it says bankruptcy is on there for 10 years, and any tax lien is going to be on there for 15. So if you have a dispute that you feel that you want to make with a credit reporting agency because you saw incorrect information, you can do that. You can dispute anything that you want to that you see on your credit report. Write a letter or an email to the different credit reporting agencies, and they are required, according to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, to respond to you within 30 days and save all of your evidence, of course, and correspondence. You might very well have some luck there to get some of the bad items off of your report by disputing them with the agency. So that's pretty much it. And like I said, you can go ahead and download this presentation from the Motina Books website on the podcast page. You know, it really is, in this day and age, it is important to have a decent credit score. Alrighty, well, that is it for this episode of the Motina Books podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you had a lovely 4th of July celebration. Got to see some cool fireworks, and being the old lady that I am going to bed bright and early, so I can get up for work in the morning. If you have any questions or want to reach out, if you want to submit a manuscript or have an idea for a book, please feel free to contact me. My name is Diane Windsor, and you can find my information at motinabooks.com. Thanks!